The conversation about changing the scope of Haines Public Safety Commission continues, and a new study observes bears planting seeds in the Chilkat Valley. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more are up next. Haines Public Safety Commission has recommended two residents to fill vacant seats. The commission, that currently only has three members, voted 2-1 to recommend Chuck Mittman and Pat Heffley join the group. Heffley, the local search clinic administrator, spoke at the commission meeting this week.
We'd like to be able to offer light observations, offer comments, and try to represent, as this gentleman, to say, here's some thoughts we might want to consider. I listen. I like change. I like differences of ideas, but I really try to work towards consensus seeking and moving things forward.
Heffley was also one of Mayor Jan Hill's choices to be appointed. At the last assembly meeting, Hill asked the group to confirm Heffley and Lynn Canal Counseling Director Kelly Williamson to fill the vacant commission seats. She also requested a code change to allow Interim Superintendent Rich Carlson to serve as an ex officio member. But Borough Code for Filling Vacancies says commissions make recommendations to the mayor. The assembly sent it back to that group. At this week's commission meeting, Hill said her choices were made in an effort to expand the scope to include public health issues. Last year, the Public Safety Commission asked the Assembly to add a representative from Search, Lynn Canal Counseling, and the Haines School, to change its name to the Public Health and Safety Commission, and alter its duties and responsibilities to include health issues related to public safety. The Assembly supported bringing these professionals and ideas into the conversation, but not through a code change. Ultimately, it did not make the changes. But Hill still wants to officially bring them to the table.
In order to try to make that happen and have this body be a task force to deal with the drug and alcohol issues, we thought, well, how about adding some resource people that actually work in that field?
Hill talked about the importance of addressing issues of drug abuse.
We can't bury our head in the sand anymore. In this community, we have talked about the elephant in the room with regard to domestic violence and abuse, and we now have a safe home in this community because we decided we weren't going to be afraid to talk about it anymore. Well, we have a drug problem, we have an alcohol problem in our community, and we all know it. We all know somebody that's struggling, and I see this body as the right body to help us address some of those issues.
Police Chief Heath Scott, who last year started the conversation about broadening the scope of the commission, said he wants to see more productivity.
I just have a ton of stuff to do that's largely done by myself to come to a meeting at the end of the day to get nothing done. I want to move forward. That's all I say. That's all I have to say. I just want some forward progress. I feel like we've been adrift.
Recommendations are passed on to the mayor, but the assembly has the final say. In Haines, I'm Abby Collins. Bears play a well-known role in fertilizing Alaska's temperate forests, as they catch, carry, and digest fish and spread nutrients through the undergrowth. But two scientists using remote control cameras near Haines show that bears are making contributions on a different front. They're not just fertilizing seeds, they're planting them. KHNS's Barrett Wilbur has more.
It started when two scientists were overwhelmed by the number of berries in a southeast forest near Haines. Salmon berries, highbush cranberries, soap berries, blueberries, devil's club berries, and more, not just in one or two places, but all throughout the forest. Others might reach for a pie pan. These two thought, these plants must have a really successful reproductive strategy. Lori Herrer is a biology instructor at Central Oregon Community College and Oregon State University, Cascades.
There are just a ton of berry-producing plants in southeast Alaska all throughout the understory, and in particular, Devil's Club, we know this was kind of everywhere. So if it's that prolific and all over the place, then it must have a very successful means of dispersing its seeds around it.
What was it? Tal Levi is an assistant professor of wildlife at Oregon State University. He says they had a guess.
And these fruit in Southeast Alaska appear to be morphologically adapted for birds because they're small berries. In case the devil's club, small red berry.
So the two set up a study. Over two summers, they identified more than 400 clusters of berries in a stretch of forest about 30 miles north of Haines. They calculated an average number of berries per plant. They trained motion-triggered cameras on the plants to see what was eating them. And what they found was a surprise.
A bird would fly in and maybe peck and eat anywhere between 2 and 5 berries at a time. But when a bear would visit these clusters of berries, they would just demolish the entire area. But it wasn't until we finally crunched the numbers that we realized just how huge of an effect bears were having.
Bears weren't just eating more berries, they were eating magnitudes more berries. The two scientists estimated a single bear could eat over 100,000 berries an hour. Robins and thrushes couldn't begin to keep up. Bears were like cargo carriers, taking seeds in their stomachs far away from the original berry patch, Harris says.
The whole reason why they even want their seeds to be dispersed in the first place is so that you don't have the parent plant competing with its offspring plants growing up in the exact same area, competing for resources and sunlight.
Bears were helping plants fulfill their biological imperative to reproduce without sacrificing their own access to resources. And dispersed berries had a better chance than those that just dropped from the bush, Levi says. When bears finally released the seeds, they left something to help them grow.
They're deposited in a place that was just fertilized by bear scat and has good moisture retention. It's like this little batch of potting soil that seed is left in.
When Levi and Hare went back to count how many berries were left behind in their patches, they realized they had a unique opportunity to increase their data.
They're placing their whole mouths over the thing, so they're probably leaving behind a lot of saliva just all over that central stalk.
They started swabbing the stalks for DNA to see exactly what kind of bears they were dealing with, even if they couldn't catch them on camera. All the bears, black, brown, male, female, ate berries. Brown bears ate early in the season, allowing black bears back into the patch later in the summer. The shift happened when the sockeye started to run.
Brown bears start to dominate these Devil's Club patches as soon as the fruit ripens, and then a lot of those animals move to feed on salmon primarily, opening that space up for black bears.
Based on their research, Levi and Hare believe bears are the most important seed dispersers in the region for berries. While jungle plants often depend on mammals to eat their fruit and carry their seeds to new places, the scientists say it's the first known temperate example of plants relying on a mammal's digestive tract as their primary method to travel.
Because there's so many bears, if they really truly are the most important seed dispersers, that sort of is understandable then why you have so many more berries in Alaska.
But bears aren't the only animals contributing to better berry hauls, the scientists say. Salmon are, too. Dependable salmon runs help Alaska maintain its high density of large bears, compared to places on the east and west coast where bear populations have dwindled and salmon no longer return.
A large population of bears spreading berry seeds is helping those understory plants grow, so that salmon supporting that bear population is vital for bears to then help assist all of those berry-producing plants.
Levi says it's likely that losing salmon could have changed the growth of berrying plants in those areas, because they could no longer travel in the bellies of the bears. In Haines, I'm Barrett Wilbur.
Once a year, Juno organizations that provide services to homeless individuals come together in one place for Project Homeless Connect. KTOO's David Purdy attended this year's event to find out more.
The main hall of the Juno Arts and Culture Center was packed with booths and tables like a trade show or craft fair. But these tables were staffed by organizations that provide services to homeless individuals. More than 30 organizations offered help with housing, employment, healthcare, warm weather clothing, and more. Organizers even provided a hot lunch, and local stylists gave free haircuts. James Cole Bottleson was one of about 200 people who received services at the event. He said that as someone experiencing homelessness, having all these organizations in one place helps a lot.
Usually it's pretty hard for a homeless person to get around to all these places and get everything they would need done. Way to go, Juno, pulling it all together and helping out the homeless.
Scott Shambor, the city's chief housing officer, says it helps the providers too.
You know, the service providers really enjoy it because they get to see their peers and network. And it keeps people's spirit up for the work that is being done in the community. So it's great.
The number of people served at the event also helps with an annual estimate of the number of homeless individuals in Juneau. This year, that count will not include street canvassing. Last year, a survey that did include street canvassing counted 215. Chambor said that the free haircuts were the most popular event this year, with over 50 people signing up. In Juneau, I'm David Purdy.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us tonight. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.